Hello and welcome to episode number 27 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded February 19th, 2016. My name is Elias Saba and I run AFTVnews.com, which is pretty much the leading source of Fire TV related news. And this is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news. I got some great little topics to talk about this week. Put up a bunch of guides, one about installing exposed frameworks. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what that is and what that's good for. Also talk about the Google Play Store, put up a guide on how to install that, and we'll talk about that in detail definitely in this episode. Also got some little Alexa news changes. Then we'll talk a little bit about apps that came out this week and that are on sale this week. And of course, we'll end the episode as we always do with a bunch of answers to your questions that readers and listeners have submitted. Real quickly before we get started, there'll probably be a little bit of a shift in when I'll go live and when I'll be putting out the episode next week. Most likely I'll be recording live on Thursday instead of Friday, and I'll try to get the episode out normally on Saturday like I usually do, but there's a chance it might come out on Sunday. So just a little heads up that next week's episode is going to be a little bit shifted. All right, first bit of news of the week. I wanted to talk a little bit about the software update 5.0.5 and how slow it's been rolling out to all the devices. It's been a little over 2 weeks now that we first saw this update start to arrive on the first-gen Fire TVs, and it's been slowly rolling out on all devices, basically. First-gen Fire TVs, Fire TV sticks, second-gen Fire TVs have all been slowly receiving this update. It still seems like I would say the majority of people have not received this update yet. I, for example, have still, you know, kind of same state as I was last week. I've only received this update on one second-gen Fire TV, and all my other second-gens and first-gens and Fire TV sticks have still not received this update. So just wanted to mention it right here at the front that if you're still waiting on that 5.0.5 software update, don't worry, you're in the same boat as everybody else. It just seems like it's a very slow rollout. In my little article here that I wrote about it, I kind of speculated that, just as I mentioned last week, part of the reason why this update is rolling out slowly could be because it is being rolled out to every single Fire TV device at once. Usually when we see these software updates, they only hit one category of devices, you know, either the Fire TV or the sticks or the second gen Fire TV. Those are kind of the three main chunks. And actually the Fire TV stick is actually separated into two different chunks. There's the older Fire TV sticks that shipped with the non-voice remotes, and then the newer Fire TV sticks that are shipping with the voice remotes. Those devices, even though the Fire TV sticks themselves are the exact same hardware, they are actually on two separate update paths. But this 5.0.5 update is actually going out to all of those different devices, and it's the first one that kind of converges all the Fire TV devices into a single software version, a single feature set for the most part. So that could be why the software update is rolling out as slow as it is, you know, whereas normally we get it on one set of devices. Now it's almost as if there are three times the amount of devices that are receiving this update. So maybe it's going to take three times as long for all the devices to be updated. For the most part in the past, around 2 to 3 weeks is when we see the vast majority of devices updated. Whereas this one at the 2 week mark, we're only seeing a small subset of the devices updated. So in this post, I asked people to comment on whether they received the update and whether they didn't. We've got 61 replies here. So really a great response from the community, letting us know which devices have been updated, which ones haven't. And I just skimmed through all of this before going live here with the recording. And for the most part, it's all over the place. You know, all different types of devices are still being updated. You know, as we've got people responding as early as last night, letting us know people have actually gotten new updates. Their devices just got updated. So it doesn't look like Amazon has stopped the rollout or that there are any issues with the rollout. It's just that it's going out slow and steady, you know. So all you could do is wait, of course. As always, for those who don't know, there's no way to force this update. There's no way to manually install this update. You just have to wait your turn. You can go into the system settings, the settings system about section. And the bottom of that, there's a check for updates. And that will check if your device is ready to be updated. It doesn't mean that it will install the update if it is at all out. You know, you still have to kind of wait your turn. It still rolls out slowly. So doing that check for update, it just kind of checks to see whether it's your device's turn. So it doesn't necessarily force the update in any way. So just putting that out there so those who aren't aware know. But yeah, like I said, people have chimed in. You know, my first gen Fire TV got 5.0.5 updated today in Germany. That was put out this morning at 2 a.m. So definitely people are still receiving these updates. So it just looks like it's nice and slow and steady. Just got to wait your turn. For those of you still waiting on the 5.0.5 pre-rooted version for the first gen Fire TVs, like I said, I have not received the update yet, and neither has RBox. So neither of us have the package that RBox needs to make that pre-rooted version yet. So once either I receive the update or RBox receives it, then he'll be able to get started on making that pre-rooted version. So that's still in the works, in the plans. There'll still be a new TWRP recovery for first generation rooted devices. So just hold tight. It is kind of slow and steady, but you know, what can we do? All right, speaking of TWRP, moving along, I mentioned last week's episode, I gave a big explanation of kind of what TWRP is and what custom recovery is, what a ROM is, all that stuff. One thing I left out that I realized, and I actually wrote a new little guide for it here, is that TWRP actually has a feature built in that will kind of check a file's integrity before you flash it or before you install it onto your Fire TV device. Basically, what this does is it checks what's called the MD5 hash, which is a nearly unique value that can be calculated for every single file. So before you flash a file, you can check to see whether that file has gotten corrupted or somehow it got transferred incorrectly, or maybe when you downloaded it, it didn't download it all in one piece. And it's important to do this check because if you flash a corrupt file, it could potentially brick your Fire TV. It could wipe out, you know, the operating system, and there'll be no way to recover, possibly. So it's very simple to do this little extra step when you are flashing anything within TWRP. Basically, all you have to do is create this .md5 file. And all it is a text file that has the MD5 hash, which is a 32-character alphanumeric string that you basically put into this .md5 file, and just make sure that that file is in the same directory as the flash file that you're going to install onto the Fire TV. As long as that file is in the same directory as the file that you're flashing, TWRP will see that and it will let you know that it is checking it in the little log that it displays when you're flashing a file. In my guide, I did put this little form here that actually generates the .mdf file for you. All you have to do is enter the file name, the exact file name of the file that you're going to be flashing, and then enter the MD5 hash of that file, and then hit the download button, and it'll automatically generate the file for you, save it onto your computer, and then you just have to put that file like on your SD card or micro SD card, you know, along with the zip file that you're flashing within TWRP. If any of that was confusing, I highly suggest you just check out the article here. It lays it out in more detail than what I just explained. Of course, as always, I'll put a link in the show notes to this guide for doing the MD5 check and everything that I talk about in this episode. All right, next up, let's talk a little bit about the exposed framework for the second gen Fire TV. Now that we have TWRP recovery, we can install things like the exposed framework that kind of modifies the operating system of the Fire TV. So exposed framework, if you're not familiar with it, it's basically like a venue for modifications to the operating system. So a lot of times, instead of releasing a modified operating system, a developer or a modder will release an exposed framework mod that basically just makes a change to the operating system that's already on there. That way it's a lot easier to mix and match mods with ROMs. So installing the exposed framework does not make any changes itself. It's the mods that go into the exposed framework that actually make the changes to the Fire TV. I saw a lot of people commenting asking, what would you do? What is there to do with the exposed framework? So right now, there actually isn't that much to do, mostly because the Fire TV 2 just barely got rooted, just barely got custom recovery. It's kind of like a timeline that these devices go through when they get rooted. So first they get rooted, and then a little bit later, you'll end up getting custom recovery installed on there that makes it safer to modify the device. And then after that, you might start seeing custom ROMs and custom modifications that you can do to the device. So we're still very early on in this whole process of a rooted Fire TV 2. So that's why right now there aren't too many things you could do with the exposed framework. There are a few things that you could do with the exposed framework on the first gen Fire TV that a lot of people are kind of applying to the second gen, but not all of them are fully compatible. I mean, for example, RBox had released a few exposed framework mods that made changes, for example, to the Fire TV's main menu. You could hide main menu items that you don't use. For example, if you never use music or you never use photos, you could hide those with RBox's mod. But I'm pretty sure that mod is not working for the second gen Fire TV yet because he hasn't updated it. I think he's planning to look at that, but I think he's going to wait until he has the Fire TV 1 working on TWRP, and that way he can maybe look at updating his mod for both of those devices. So I think that's why he hasn't pushed out an update there yet. Something else that his mod does is it can hide that banner that's on the home screen. A lot of people find that annoying, so they like to hide that. So little tweaks like that you could do with the exposed framework. Main reason I wrote out this guide is because you need the exposed framework to install the Google Play Store, which I'll start talking about right now, I think. So this week I put out my guide for how to install the Google Play Store on the Fire TV 2. Most likely this guide will apply to the Fire TV 1 once that also gets the TWRP recovery and the 5.0.5 pre-rooted ROM. I'll definitely check once those are out and those are released. I'll go back and see if this guide needs any updating for it to work on the first gen Fire TV as well. But for now, it's only for the Fire TV 2, and your device has to be rooted because you do have to install exposed, which also requires root. So first off, you're probably wondering, what would you want to do with the Google Play Store on the Fire TV? It's not so much the Google Play Store that people want as much as it is the Google services that come with the Google Play Store. So a lot of the default Google apps require the Google services to also be installed on the device. Google services are basically a set of APIs that Google releases on their official Android devices. So unofficial Android devices like the Fire TV, which basically just takes the open source version of Android and kind of makes its own operating system out of it. They don't get the Google Play services. They don't get the Google Play Store just because it's a branch of Android as opposed to Google's official version of Android. So once you have those Google Play services, you can do things like install the Google Music app, for example, on the Fire TV. If you have a Google Music subscription, or if you have a lot of your music uploaded into Google Music, before this, there was really no way to have access to that. Specifically, you couldn't log into those apps. You could sideload them, but you couldn't log in because it was missing those back-end Google account services that are required to log into a Google account on these Google official apps. The other thing you can install once you install the Google Play Store on the second gen Fire TV is install the Android TV version of a lot of apps, like for example, the YouTube app. So the YouTube app for the Fire TV is pretty lackluster. It's really just an HTML5 portal to the web-based version of Google's TV interface. But with the Google Play Store installed, you can have access to more of those Android TV apps. And so you can install the YouTube app for Android TV and actually log into it. Before, without the Google Play Store and without those Google services, you could sideload the Android TV version of YouTube, but you wouldn't be able to log into it because you don't have all that back-end stuff. So this guide that I wrote walks you through the steps. It's not too many steps, about 24 or so steps, and most of those are just really simple command lines that you have to just copy and paste, basically. And so this will walk you through installing all of those back-end services and all the Google and the Google Play Store APK. Now in the guide, there is this before you begin, a big chunk of text that I encourage you to read because it talks about the little quirks that come with the Google Play Store on the Fire TV. So it doesn't work perfectly because the Google Play Store was never designed for the Fire TV. It doesn't recognize the Fire TV as a valid device. So getting it to actually display all of the available apps is a bit of an issue. So there are several different versions of the Google Play Store APK that you can actually try on the Fire TV. The one that I suggest using in this guide is the 5.10.31 lean back version. Lean back basically just means that it's designed for Android TV. So it's not the Google Play Store that you would find on smartphones and on tablets. But you can try different versions because different versions will display different sets of apps. It's kind of weird. It's kind of quirky, so it's not perfect, but it does get you access to those Google services. And at the very least, you should be able to search for specific apps, even if you can't browse the different categories for all the different Google Android TV apps that are available. The other little quirk is that when you install the Google Play Store on the Fire TV, it tends to want to auto-update itself to the latest version. And usually the latest version is not the version that you want because it might not be compatible. It might, for example, only work on Marshmallow devices, whereas the Fire TV uses the older 5.1 Android Lollipop version. So you really don't want this Google Play Store to update. And unfortunately, there is no setting, there's no option to stop that auto-update process. So the solution that I've come up with, the easiest way to prevent the Google Play Store from auto-updating itself is to re-sign the APK. And basically what that means is you're basically unpacking and repacking the APK file. And when you do that, you have to apply a new signature. And Android actually checks that signature before it does an update of an APK file. And so if the signatures don't match, it won't do the update because it thinks there's something fishy going on. So I've actually included in my guide a repacked, re-signed version of the 5.10.31 leanback Google Play Store. You can try that, or you can try, I put a link to other versions of the APK. You can try different ones to see if, which one works best for you. Maybe you want access to different apps. Maybe you prefer to have the tablet or the smartphone version of the Play Store and just use a mouse to navigate it. It's totally up to you. This guide is fairly flexible. I wrote it in such a way that you can follow the guide pretty much starting from step 4 and on if you just want to go in and try a different APK. You know, maybe down the line we see a new Android TV Google Play Store update and they release a new APK that works better on the Fire TV. It'll be pretty straightforward to reload this guide and try that new APK. All you have to do is basically start with step 4. Speaking of the steps, pretty straightforward. Basically, you have to install the exposed framework as well as the HD exposed mod for the exposed framework. That's written in my exposed guide, so really simple to install those. Next, you install what's called OpenG apps, which is basically an open version of the Google services and the background apps that Google basically puts out on their official Android devices. You install that from within TWRP. It's a zip file. All you have to do is go to images and select the zip file and then install. Really straightforward. Once you do that, basically reboot the device, transfer the APK that you want to install, and then there are just a series of ADB commands that you need to run to get that APK file in the right location, in the right directory, and with the right permissions. Again, about a dozen or so of these ADB commands that you need to run within ADB shell. Once you got that going, you basically just need to enable apps from unknown sources. That way the Google Play Store can actually install apps that it downloads. And then you launch the Google Play Store and sign in. So quick note about launching the Google Play Store and about signing in. The Google Play Store gets installed as a system app. It needs to be a system app or else it throws out this error 967 error code or something like that. So it has to be a system app. But the bad side of it being a system app is that you can't just launch it from within the regular Fire TV apps section. You actually have to use a third-party launcher like Firestarter, for example, or even ES File Explorer can launch system apps. So if you have Firestarter installed, like a lot of people do, all you have to do is go into settings, make sure you have show system apps enabled, and then you'll be able to just see the Google Play Store in your app drawer basically the same way any other app, and then you just launch it from there. So that's how you need to launch the Google Play Store. Again, it's written all in this guide that I'll link in the show notes. Briefly about actually setting up the login for the Google Play Store, it might be a little bit cumbersome because the Google Play Store does not show your mouse cursor. So if you plug in a USB mouse, you're actually not going to see the cursor. And really, the cursor is actually invisible. It's actually there and moving around, but it's invisible. And so when you're going through the login process, you could do it all with a keyboard, you know, the arrow keys and just entering a keyboard and then pressing the enter button to move on to the next page. But the very end, when you actually have to accept the terms of service for the Google Play Store, that you're going to need a mouse. You have to basically click the next button that's in the bottom right corner. The way I did it, and I think the easiest way, is basically just move your invisible mouse to the very bottom right. You know, it's very easy to kind of drag all the way to the right, all the way to the bottom, make sure it would be in the bottom if it was visible. And then all you have to do is basically just move it up a hair and click. Even though it's invisible, it'll still work. It'll still click. And really all you have to do is click that one button and then you're good to go. And you never have to log in. You never have to use a mouse again. You know, if you install the lean back version of the Google Play Store, which is the one for Android TV, it works perfectly fine with the remote control. You can install apps, you can browse apps, you can search for apps even. Everything works totally fine. The voice search does not work in it, obviously, because the voice search on Android TV is very different than the voice search on the Fire TV, but you can do text search just fine, so no worries there. So there are a few quirks, definitely, but if you're looking to get some of these official Google apps working on the Fire TV, this is really your best bet. I'll be looking into all the different Google apps that are available on Android TV that are not available on the Fire TV, and looking to see which ones work, which ones don't work. Hopefully next week I'll have some article written about that, so look forward to that soon. I know some people have gotten the Android launcher working on the Fire TV, which is kind of nice if you want to change up the actual home screen of your Fire TV. So I'll be looking into that, and hopefully you can look forward to some new article about Android TV apps that you can put on the Fire TV. All right, moving on to some Alexa news. So Alexa gained a new flash briefing source this week, which was Discovery News, or also known as DNews. So for those who don't know, flash briefing is basically Alexa's kind of news feature where you can pretty much, there are different ways to trigger it, but I always just say, Alexa, what's new? And that'll cause Alexa to wake up and basically read off or play back your flash briefing. And so there are several sources like CNN, Bloomberg, NPR, TMZ, ESPN, a lot of different sources where you can go into the Alexa app or the Alexa web portal, which is at alexa.amazon.com. But if you go in there, if you go into settings, scroll down to the bottom, you'll see a section called Flash Briefing. When you go into there, there are basically just a list of different news sources, and you can just tick them on and off. And the ones that you tick on will be played back whenever you ask Alexa for the news. And usually those get updated daily. So the idea is every morning you could, you know, while you're getting ready or just before you walk out the door, you can ask Alexa for the news and it'll tell you about the news. Some of the sources are actually audio files that are played back, kind of like a little mini daily podcast in a way. The new Discovery News, DNews edition is like that. Most of them are like that. But there are also ones that just read out news articles in Alexa's regular, you know, robotic voice. So those are not as ideal, but they're still, you know, good because you get some good information out of those. But yeah, Discovery News is added. It's the latest one that's just been added. The ones before that were Bloomberg and CNN. Those were added about 2 months ago. So a nice selection of news sources. Discovery News, for those who might not know, is focused on technology and science news related articles. So there'll be a lot of space related stuff, a lot of earth related stuff, a lot of tech related stuff, you know, not so much politics, not so much world news or current event, that kind of stuff. So really nice. I definitely ticked it on, and it's definitely added to my list of news briefings. All right, next up, before we move on to the Q&A section of the podcast, we'll talk a little bit about apps. One of the app deals that came out this week was Leo's Fortune, which is a great little action platformer adventure game. It's on sale down from $4.99 to $2.49. Now, that's not the lowest price it's ever been. That would be when it was 99 cents. I think it was back around Christmas time. But it's still a great game. That's why I wanted to mention it. Pretty much one of the best visually looking games on the Fire TV. It's available for the first and second gen Fire TV, but not on the Fire TV stick. You will need a game controller to play this game, but really fun little kind of puzzly platformer game that is definitely worth checking out. And for $2.49, I think it's a great deal. All right, next up, moving on to new apps that came out this week that are kind of noteworthy that I wanted to mention. So there's this new app called Favorite Marker. And it's actually doesn't do much, but I wanted to mention it because it might be good for those with a lot of side-loaded apps. It's kind of like an alternative to Firestarter, but one of the key differences is that it's an official app in the official Amazon App Store. And so you'll be able to install it, and you'll be able to launch it from the home screen and all the different sections. And basically what it does is it lists all of your apps that you have installed on your Fire TV, and it lets you select some that you want to be your favorites. And the advantage of this app over the regular app section, for example, is that this app will list sideloaded apps, all of your sideloaded apps. So basically, it's just another way to get to your sideloaded apps. The app is $1.99 right now. This developer has put his apps on sale pretty regularly. So even though this is a new app, I would probably hold off. If you are interested in getting this app, it'll probably go on sale down the line. That would be my guess. But if you're watching the video version, as you can see here, it's very simple. Just two tabs, all apps and favorite. And basically, you just mark apps as favorites. And once you do, they show up in that first favorite section. So if you've got a lot of sideloaded apps that you want to get to easily, and for whatever reason, you don't want to use something like Firestarter, you want to just have it natively, you know, official and working on the Fire TV and launchable from the home screen, you could install this Favorite Marker app and launch it from the recent section and get to your sideloaded apps pretty easily. Next new app that I wanted to briefly mention is a new app for Audi Media TV. Basically, it's this app that kind of highlights a lot of the Audi Motorsport videos and that sort of stuff. And so if you're into cars, there's a lot of high quality videos in this app. This developer is a German developer that basically has created a Mercedes app, and before that created a Porsche app. And so I don't know if they're commissioned by the manufacturers to make these apps for them, so I don't know if they're actually official apps or not. But if you're into cars, you're into German cars specifically, check out the new Audi app that just came out. The last app that I wanted to mention that came out this week is a HSN shopping app, the Home Shopping Network app. Now, I know this isn't the kind of app that a lot of you are probably dying to have and dying to install, but it is still a little bit noteworthy because there is a live stream of the HSN network through this app. The number of apps for the Fire TV that actually offer a live stream of any kind are very tiny. I mean, you could pretty much count them on one hand almost. And so whenever there's a new live app available, especially one that's free and especially one that doesn't require logging in of any sort, I always want to mention it at least briefly. The other thing that's interesting in this app is actually you can shop and purchase right within the app itself while you're watching live. And so whatever you're seeing live within the Home Shopping Network is available right there as a button to buy within the app itself. Again, I don't expect a lot of people to be super excited about this, but it's noteworthy because Amazon is expected to release their own shopping feature for the Fire TV, kind of more full-fledged than what we already have with the little banner on the top. Occasionally you'll see an actual product advertised in the banner and you can click in and buy it there. But supposedly we're going to get eventually a full-blown shopping feature for the Fire TV that lets you browse almost all of Amazon's retail store, and where you can buy almost anything that Amazon sells. And so this app from HSN is kind of competing with that potential upcoming feature. So I just want to put that out there. If anybody's interested in checking out people sell you stuff live on the Fire TV. As with everything I've mentioned in the episode, you'll find links to all those apps that I mentioned in the show notes of the episode. So check that out if you're interested in looking into those in any more detail. All right, moving on to the Q&A portion of the podcast. As always, on Thursdays, I always put out a post asking people to submit their questions that they want me to answer or want me to address on the podcast episode. I do take questions live from people watching live. I do always stream live on Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, so you're welcome to watch live and submit questions live via Twitter. I do monitor the stream. We've already got a question here from Ray that I'll address in a bit of detail right now. So Ray on Twitter is asking if I can confirm that the exposed framework and the Play Store installation will work on first gen Fire TVs. Now, I can't confirm that because we don't have a rooted first gen Fire TV running Fire OS 5 yet. All the rooted devices are still on the older Fire OS version. As I mentioned earlier, we don't have the Fire OS 5.0.5 software update for Arbox to create a pre-rooted version from yet. Once we get that, he should be able to make that pre-rooted version, and then we'll kind of know for sure whether all of these newer Fire TV 2 mods that are coming out will also work on the first gen Fire TV. I have no doubt that they will work, but they'll probably need slight modifications. For example, the second gen Fire TV has a different chipset than the first gen Fire TV, so a lot of these mods are specific to the chip. For example, the G apps that you install to get the Google Play Store working, that one is a ARM 64-bit processor specific version. You're probably going to have to install a different ARM 32-bit version of G apps on the Fire TV. It is available, but we don't know for sure that it works on the first gen Fire TV yet. So putting that out there, that once the first gen Fire TV gets the pre-rooted 5.0.5 software version, I'll be going back and checking all these latest guides that I wrote to see whether they actually do work for the Fire TV 1 and whether they need to be modified for that. So just hold tight for those to come out. All right, first question submitted to the thread here is from John. He says, I find your weekly list of new apps for the Fire TV very helpful for discovering useful additions to my Fire Stick. I am wondering if you would also consider adding a weekly list of new content available on Amazon Prime Video. Being cord cutters and also Prime members, my wife and I get most of our TV content from Prime Video. For basically the first of the month, I put out a monthly post about all the Prime Video content that's going to come out that month. There really isn't enough new content to merit a weekly post, but definitely check out the monthly post that I put out every first of the month. I'll put a link in the show notes to a link that'll take you to all of those what's new on Prime Video posts. I'll also create a little shortcut. You can probably get to it. If you go to aftvnews.com/what's new, that'll take you to all of those posts as well. All right, next question is from Philip. He's saying that the 6-axis controller doesn't work so great on the Fire TV update. So he's wondering if there's a way to remap the PS4 controller buttons. Yes, there actually is. I have a guide I'll link in the show notes called Fix PS4 DualShock 4 Button Mapping on the Fire TV. This was written for the first-gen Fire TV, but it should just work the same on the second-gen Fire TV. I don't have a PS4 controller to verify that for sure. Maybe you can check and let me know, Philip. It's going to require a rooted device, first off, because you are uploading a .kl file, which is a key layout file, to the Fire TV's system directory. So yeah, anytime you modify anything about the system partition on the Fire TV, the device has to be rooted. You can look into the file and you can basically modify the text file, this .kl file that you can download here. You can go in into with a text editor and actually modify the key layout if you want to change it at all, but the one created here should work pretty well on the Fire TV. Next question here is from Adam. He says, hi, I got the update on my Fire TV stick first gen. Is it possible to stream to Bluetooth on two devices at once? Amazon told me no, but I was wondering if there was a workaround. No, I don't know of any workaround, and I'm pretty sure there will not ever be a workaround. This is kind of a characteristic of Bluetooth and Android in general. Whenever you actually connect a Bluetooth audio device to an Android device, it pretty much takes over as the audio source or the audio output for the entire operating system. And so you can't really have two things taking over the operating system's audio output. And so that's why it's limited to only one device. Next question from Hey Radar. They say, do you have a recommendation for an alternative to ES File Explorer? I find it more difficult to navigate than it should be when using the remote. I primarily use it to retrieve APKs from my NAS to sideload. I haven't experimented too much myself with a different file browsers and file explorers. I tend to always recommend ES File Explorer because it is available in the App Store and you don't have to sideload it. If you are just using it to access files from your NAS, I would probably recommend looking into the Google Play Store and searching for something that can maybe mount a SMB drive or some kind of network drive that way. That way you can get to your files a little more directly than having to go kind of roundabout through ES File Explorer. I mean, the nice thing about ES File Explorer is that it does a lot of stuff. You know, the amount of features, the feature set that it has is huge, but on the downside, because it has all those features, it's a little cumbersome to navigate, and it's definitely not made really to work with the remote that well. It kind of just barely works with the remote. There is another official Fire TV app called Total Commander, I believe. That's a file browser, but I don't know if that one is capable of accessing network drives or not. I've never actually used it that way, but that's another one you can look into. It's also available for free officially within the Fire TV's App Store. Next question here from Hawkstead. He says, I have a first-gen Fire TV stick. I got the update last Friday, but now it won't hold a network connection, so I cannot watch anything. When I switch the input button on my TV to the stick, it has a connection because my photos are updated on the screensaver. But if we are trying to click on Prime Video or Netflix, it loses the connection. Also, when I switch to any menu item on the home screen, it loses the connection. It's kind of tough, Hawkstead, to diagnose this kind of issue. One suggestion I would have is to make sure that you are plugging the Fire TV stick into the actual power supply that came with it, as opposed to into the USB port on your Fire TV. Because you mentioned that you lose connection when you launch apps or when you change the menu, that kind of causes the Fire TV to draw more power. So I'm thinking maybe that has to do with the issue. Another suggestion would be maybe to change the Wi-Fi channel that your router is broadcasting on. There could be interference on that channel that is causing issues. The Fire TV stick update adds support for the Wi-Fi controllers, so that could be why it was working before and it isn't working now. Maybe those controllers are using a specific channel. I don't know for sure. This is just kind of a guess. Other thing you could do is try to switch from either a 5 gigahertz network to a 2.4 or vice versa, if your router is capable of those. These are just different things you could try. Sorry, I don't have a more solid answer for you. All right, we got another question here from Hey Radar. He says, do you think leaving Fire TV sticks turned off will hurt their chance to get the 5.0.5 update? I power my sticks using my USB on my TV, which isn't powered when my TV is off. I periodically turn my TVs on and do an update check, but I'm starting to wonder if I'm hindering my chances to get the update. No, I don't think it'll make a difference. I have a whole bunch of different Fire TV devices, both sticks and boxes, and those are off for the most part. And really, whether they're off or whether they're on, it doesn't seem to affect how soon they get the update. Pretty much, they always update in the same order. I have a stick that tends to update first, and then I've got a first-gen box that tends to update, and then I've got a second-gen box that updates pretty early on. So they pretty much always update in the same order, whether they're on or not. So it shouldn't affect anything. Obviously, if it's turned off, it can't be checking for those updates. But once you power it on, it kind of is in a fresh state. So when you do that update check, it will, you know, perform a real full update check, whereas if it's been on for a while, it might actually just have a cached version of the update check, if that makes sense. It seems to not do the same update check the first time as it does the second time. But yeah, I don't think it will affect things if you only turn it on periodically just to check for updates. All right, next question here from Robert Simmendel. He asks, when CBS All Access was released for Fire TVs, we were told it required Fire OS 5. So I enrolled in the developer preview so I could get Fire OS 5 on my first gen Fire TV. But even after I got my first gen Fire TV updated to Fire OS 5.0.3, there's still no CBS All Access. When Fire OS 5.0.5 finally arrives on my first gen Fire TV, will I finally be able to get CBS All Access on it, or is second generation hardware actually required? So the CBS All Access app is really odd. When it was first available, I distinctly remember it being available on the developer preview Fire OS 5, as well as the Fire TV sticks running Fire OS 5. I mean, there's a chance I'm remembering this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was available on all those devices. But now when you look at it, or at some point, they dropped the Fire TV stick and they dropped the developer preview, and now it's only compatible with the second gen Fire TV. There's no way to know whether first gen Fire TVs running Fire OS 5.0.5 will get CBS All Access in the future. You know, judging by the ABC app, which is actually only available on the first gen Fire TVs running the older operating system, it seems like these network broadcast apps like CBS and NBC, Fox, ABC, there's some funny business going on in the background. I have a feeling that there has to be like an agreement between the network and Amazon to get these apps on different devices, and those agreements have to be extended to the new operating system and the newer devices or on the older devices. This is just a complete guess. I have no real reason to believe this, but it just seems odd that these apps tend to be the ones that are only compatible with very specific software versions of very specific devices, whereas all the other apps are either working on everything or working on nothing. I would expect that once all the devices are running Fire OS 5.0.5, Amazon will probably do something to get all of these big network apps running on all the devices. So, you know, fingers crossed, but there's really no way to know for sure. Next question here from Jerry says, have you heard any stories of people using AFTVs in a business setting? I saw there is an app to allow you to use the AFTV for a digital sign display. Curious if you know of any app software that people have used together with AFTV in a business application. I have not heard anything specific. I don't know of any specific business applications myself, but I have seen actually an influx in new apps that kind of do what you're saying, using the Fire TV as a way to turn a TV into a smart display of sorts. If you look at my weekly new apps posts, I'll put a link in the show notes, usually in the other section, you'll see, you know, every few weeks, a new app will come out that basically does what you're saying. It uses a Fire TV as a digital sign or digital display. I've seen one that's kind of tailored towards turning a TV into a menu for like a restaurant. And you can log in with an app or log in with a PC and change what's on the Fire TV remotely. I've also seen apps that turn a TV into like a social display where you can set it up to display people's Instagram pictures that they tag a specific account with or that they tweet with. So there are some curious things that people are doing in a business sense with the Fire TV. I don't know the apps off the top of my head, but again, if you check the weekly new app section and you go down to the very bottom, there's the other section. That's where I always list these types of apps. And so you can look through them. There's probably maybe about a dozen or so of these apps that kind of use a TV combined with a Fire TV or a Fire TV stick as a sort of display or digital interface. Our next question here is from Ray. He says, I've been following your guide to move apps to a USB drive, but I've encountered the same issue as this user. And he links to actually comment on the post. He says, when I mount my drive with stick mount, I find that the files aren't readable and drive isn't writable. ES File Explorer shows folders and files on the drive as an unknown file with a question mark. As the guide is old, I thought maybe stick mount wasn't needed anymore, but I was wrong. After moving everything okay with folder mount, Grand Theft Auto was unable to load. I tried to download the files again, so it wasn't recognizing the symlink. Any chance of updating the guide, or do you know how to solve this issue? My drive in question is an 8GB pen drive. Tried letting the Fire TV itself format it. Tried Windows FAT32 format, and also tried EXT4 format, all to no avail. Thanks. Yeah, that guide is pretty old. That guide actually was written before the first Gen Fire TV gained the ability natively to support USB external storage. So definitely that guide does not work anymore. I do plan on going through my older guides and organizing things and maybe marking ones that are questionable whether they work or not and marking ones that don't work. So sorry you ran into these issues following an older guide. I do plan to revisit this. I know there's definitely still a need to move data files for apps that cannot be moved to external storage. This would probably only be able to be done on a rooted device, if anything at all. So I want to look into it. It's definitely on my list of things to revisit. And so, sorry, I can't help you right now with that, but hopefully in the future. Next question from FreeMZ. He says, hi, how can we get Kodi icon back on the Fire TV with 5.0.5? So I assume you're referring to the icon on the home screen's recent section. And I assume you're referring to the llama method of doing that. As I've mentioned many times in the podcast and in many of my Fire OS 5 posts, Llama is not compatible with Fire OS 5 because the app developer has pretty much abandoned the app, so he hasn't updated it to the newer Android APIs. And so there's really no way to get a Kodi icon on the home screen of Fire OS 5 or Fire OS 5.0.5. Really, your only option is to either launch from the apps section. So Kodi will appear and all sideloaded apps will appear in the app section of the Fire TV running Fire OS 5.0.5. But your other option is to use Fire Starter. It actually has the ability to remap the home button and a double press of the home button. So a lot of people will use that to launch Kodi just by double tapping the home button. It's what I do. Really, it's kind of the best way to launch Kodi if you do launch it very often. I'll put a link in the show notes to a guide on exactly how to use Fire Starter to launch Kodi by double tapping the home button. Next question here from Frank H. He says, hi Elias, I received Fire OS 5 on all my Fire TV devices. I like that they slimmed down the menu UI. Is there any way to make it so the app menu lines the apps up in a different way besides the side-scrolling menu? Maybe a tile arrangement like on Roku UI. It takes a long time to scroll through the 52 apps I have installed. Thanks. My first suggestion, Frank, is to use the favorites feature. If you're not aware of that, you can mark apps as favorites, and that'll make them appear at the front of that list. So if there are apps that you access often, mark them as favorites. They appear there. Other than that, if you actually sideload the Amazon App Store for smartphones or tablets, it's kind of a weird quirk. It'll actually overwrite the app section of the Fire TV and display your apps in a grid fashion. I'll put a link in the show notes to exactly how to do that if you want to do that. Again, it is a bit of a weird quirk, so you might end up running into issues where different parts of the Fire TV don't work correctly, but it is a way to get the Fire TV to display apps in a grid fashion. Our next question from Steve Klein, he says, is the Amazon Fire TV finally winning the war in the ratings game against its nearest competitors, Roku and Apple? If not, what will it take to beat them once and for all? Yeah, it does seem like it is winning the war, as you say. Amazon has, I think, in two recent press releases mentioned that the Fire TV is the best-selling media box in North America. I think their stats are from, I believe, October through January, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, it does seem like the Fire TV is on top, above Roku and above Apple in sales, at least. Even though the Fire TV is the best-selling box, it's still fairly level, you know, compared to the Roku and the Apple TV, I think. I mean, the Apple TV is gaining ground pretty quickly. You know, that device is the newest one out of the bunch. As far as what it'll take to beat the Roku and the Apple TV once and for all, I really think content is the name of the game. Making sure that you can get the most amount of content easily and affordably on the Fire TV over the Roku, over the Apple TV. That's basically what's going to push it over the top. Amazon did put out that add-on subscription service with Prime. The various subscriptions available are not that great, so if they can improve that, that and maybe get some bigger names like, you know, HBO, for example, through that. That'd be pretty interesting. But really, I think it's going to come down to like exclusive content. I think Apple is working on their TV service just so that they can have exclusive content there. Roku isn't really going to play the exclusive content game just because they aren't really a content creator. They only make the platform and hope that all the other apps come to it. But yeah, I think if people see value in the Fire TV as a replacement for traditional cable, that's really what's going to push it over the edge. And right now it's really even, you know, there isn't one box that gets you more content than any other box. So yeah, I think that's what it's going to take. All right, next question here is from Ray on Twitter. He says, if I allow my non-rooted first gen to update, how could I grab the URL? My router isn't running WDR. Would Wireshark on PC do? Yeah, Ray, I mentioned this in the last episode briefly, but if you're interested in trying to capture that update URL that basically RBox needs to create the pre-rooted 5.0.5 version for the first gen Fire TV, the easiest way and the way that I do it is basically if you have a computer, a laptop or a PC or a Mac, it works on any one of them. If you have a PC that basically has both an Ethernet port and a Wi-Fi connection, then what you could do is you can set that device up to share its Ethernet connection, for example, through the Wi-Fi, or share its Wi-Fi connection through Ethernet. And you're essentially turning it into a gateway. And so you would connect the Fire TV to either the Ethernet port of the PC or through the Wi-Fi connection of the PC, and basically treat it as a middleman to get to the internet. Then what you would do is, like you're mentioning, load Wireshark, which is a program, and have it monitor the port or the connection that the Fire TV is using, whether it's the Ethernet or the Wi-Fi. And in the filter field of Wireshark, easiest thing to do is to type in HTTP. That'll filter out 95% of the traffic that's going through the device. And then basically just go in, do a check for software update on the device. And if it starts to download the update, you'll see the URL appear within Fireshark. All right, next question here is from Lewis. He says, how's it going? I got updated on my Fire TV 1 to Fire OS 5. Woohoo. I can see Kodi now directly in my apps row. That's cool, but I actually still prefer to work from Firestarter. It's much quicker. Alexa works fine in Belgium besides the location-based services. I can only set a US zip code so I get the weather in LA. If I scan my network with Alexa for smart home devices, it doesn't find my Wemo smart plugs. Anything I can try or do to fix it? Lewis, this is one of those tough ones to try to diagnose. First thing I would do is to obviously make sure that your Wemo device is completely configured with like the Wemo app. You know, make sure it's working in every other sense. I bet it is, so that's probably not your issue. The other thing, obviously, make sure they're on the same network. That has to be the case. I believe they also have to be on the same frequency. So if your Fire TV, for example, is on the 5 gigahertz frequency, whereas your Wemo device is running on the 2.4 gigahertz frequency, definitely I think that will cause the issue. So you have to make sure that they're both running on the same frequency. So yeah, I believe Wemo is only available on 2.4, so maybe your Fire TV is on 5 gigahertz and that's what's causing the issue. Other than that, I would check your router's settings to see if it has what's called UPnP enabled. This allows the Fire TV to configure the router to access devices on your network. Those are kind of my suggestions. Just make sure the Wemo device is working well over your network with other devices like a smartphone. Make sure they're on the same frequency and make sure your router's configuration isn't blocking any kind of cross communication between the Fire TV and the router and the router and the Wemo device. Next question here is from Stank. He says, I have a game that I moved to my AFTV from my Android tablet. My Nyko PlayPad Pro doesn't want to work with it. Do you think that a genuine Amazon game controller would give me the same results? Is there any way to map controller buttons so that these touchscreen games would work on the Fire TV? No, I don't think an Amazon game controller will work with the game if a regular Nyko game controller didn't work already. Yeah, it's just most likely that tablet app is just not made to work with a game controller or with the Fire TV. As far as any way to map control buttons to touchpad games, yeah, there's no real way. I have seen some apps available for smartphones and tablets that require rooted devices that essentially let you move and place fake buttons on the screen that get mapped to a controller. I don't know if they work on the Fire TV. I've never even used them myself. I've just briefly come across them. So maybe you can try searching the Google Play Store for these apps, try sideloading them. But I wouldn't have much hopes because it's a very big hacky thing and it's probably more trouble than it's worth. All right, last question here from Trox. He says, why aren't we seeing more app services such as CBS News? I think it has made strides since it first launched. What features do you want on the next Fire TV stick? I want better Wi-Fi. I currently use a Fire TV 2 when in hotels. Yeah, the CBS News app was really interesting. It was kind of like a new streaming-only news, 24-hour news network that CBS put out. And I think it's pretty much the best news source on the Fire TV, just because it's live and it streams really well. It streams on most of the devices. I think it's a great network. I kind of agree. Why aren't more networks coming out like that? But I think because CBS News is more of an experiment, CBS tends to be more of the forward-thinking networks out there, whereas ABC, NBC, Fox, they almost seem more set in their ways and less, you know, more resistant to change. So I think that's kind of why we're not seeing more apps like CBS News. I definitely like it. I recommend people to give it a shot. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's a free app, 24/7 live news broadcast from CBS. So pretty cool stuff. As far as the next Fire TV Stick and new features, that's really tough because the Fire TV Stick, it's an oddity because it has a big incentive to want to be as cheap as possible. You know, it's already really rock bottom, $40 for a streaming device with a remote. I mean, the only thing that comes close to that really is Roku streaming stick, which is older and weaker, and the Chromecast, which is a little bit cheaper, but doesn't come with a remote control, a physical remote control, that is. And so there's real incentive for Amazon to not pack in features and just try to get the price lower. So I wouldn't be surprised if the next Fire TV Stick's biggest claim to fame, biggest new feature, is a cheaper price as opposed to actually new features. Because really, all you need out of the Fire TV Stick is for it to stream 1080p content reliably and well. And it already does that really well. And that's really what people buy it for. You know, there aren't really that many features you can add to it. I mean, even looking at the second gen Fire TV, adding the micro SD card slot was nice. Adding 4K support was nice. But really, as far as hardware goes, that's all you got. There weren't really too many hardware features. Yeah, you got the improved CPU, improved GPU, but you're going to get that. So, you know, the next Fire TV Stick, I would expect it's going to have a faster, better CPU, faster, better GPU. Maybe it'll have a micro SD card slot. That would be pretty interesting to put into a device that small. All of Amazon's new tablets and the Fire TV 2 have a micro SD card slot now. And this is a new thing for Amazon. They never had micro SD card slots. And now pretty much all of their devices have micro SD card slots. So part of me expects the new Fire TV Stick to get a micro SD card slot. But it is a very small, very tight device. So yeah, I don't really expect too much out of the new Fire TV Stick. Hopefully, I'm just hoping to see a voice remote bundled in with a cheaper price. Possibly. All right, that'll conclude the 27th episode of the AFTV Newscast. Thank you so much for watching or for listening if you're listening to the audio only version. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like button. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/AFTV News. Really appreciate those two things for anybody who's getting the podcast through YouTube. Of course, you can get the audio only version through the RSS feed, through iTunes, through TuneIn, through Stitcher. Links to all of those are available in the show notes, as well as everything I've talked about in this episode. As always, I stream live at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on Fridays. I welcome anybody who can watch live. But if not, you can always catch the episode after the fact on Saturdays through all the sources that I just talked about. Again, next week's episode is probably going to be shifted around a little bit. I'll probably be doing the live broadcast on Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. And I'll hope to get out the episode in the recorded fashion on Saturdays as I usually do, but it might have to wait until Sunday. Again, thanks for tuning in and hope to see you next week.